Welcome to another brief segment of A Word Between Friends. A Word Between Friends is a 5 to 7 minute audio message that is brought to you monthly by your friends here at Gospel Gazette. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you are being enriched, that God is blessing you daily, that He's building faith in your heart as you diligently study His Word and seek to grasp the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, His chosen apostles, and the penmen of the biblical text. Romans 10:17 teaches that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So, in these brief moments together, let's begin a mini-series on the purposes of Jesus coming into our world. As noted in last month's edition, Solomon's excellent glory and that of his kingdom was put on display for the Queen of Sheba. She had traveled hundreds of miles to investigate the accuracy of reports that had fallen upon her ears. It surpassed the majesty of all previous and succeeding kingdoms. Yet, so truthfully, it is declared, a greater than Solomon is here, Matthew 12, verse 42. When a monarch or an ambassador travels to a foreign capital city, the government has a single or perhaps multiple purposes in mind. In view of the time, energy, and expense incurred, most often there is a substantive mission the government seeks to accomplish. Consider with me then, what was behind the most stupendous event in all the history of the world as that of deity being clothed with mortal flesh and walking in the midst of such unworthy men for some 33 years? As the psalmist penned, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Psalm 8 and verse 4. In fulfillment of Old Testament messianic prophecy, the only begotten Son of God was clothed in flesh and blood and delivered into our sinful world as the babe of Bethlehem. The Son of God was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit's overshadowing of a devout virgin named Mary. This occurred in fulfillment of Isaiah 7 and verse 14, which says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God has borne witness in the New Testament Scriptures to Jesus being His only begotten Son. And John the Apostle then writes, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." 1 John 4, 2-3. God had some objectives that needed to be accomplished that no one else could take care of. As great of men as were Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Peter, and Paul, and as great of women as were Sarah, Hannah, Deborah, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, there were things these could not accomplish as God needed done. God had objectives still that needed to be fulfilled that His ministering servants, angels like Gabriel, Michael, and the whole angelic order could not fulfill. Since the days of the beginning of humanity, man has suffered at the cruel hands of death in consequence to Adam's sin, just as God had forewarned. Satan, being true to his description as the father of lies, said, "Ye shall not surely die." Genesis 3 and verse 4. In consequence to Adam and Eve's sin against God, death entered our world, Romans 5 and verse 12. But God's answer to death? Jesus, His Son. Jesus came bodily into our world, in part, to destroy death and the powerful stranglehold it has over us. Death is the enemy of all men. On our own, you and I have not the path to escape it. On our own, you and I have not the power to defeat it. But hear the good news. Death cannot overpower Jesus, and in Him we too can be victorious over death. Listen to this. The Bible text reads, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham." Hebrews 2:14-16. Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross. He died and was buried. However, he arose victoriously on the third day. Paul even gives us the names of witnesses to his resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of these were still alive at the time the letter was penned, and so others could yet go and ask them what they had seen. The Bible text reads in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 51 through the end of the chapter, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus came to destroy death. Until next time, may God bless.